Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I'm so thankful that we're part of that government. And we will rule and reign with You. And we're excited about those days. Glory be to God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for the days that are coming. We don't ever forget these days. When revival rages and thousands are saved, we don't ever forget these humble beginnings, Lord. And what it took through Your grace to receive. And when You're able to really add Yourself, when You're able to add Yourself to this place with no limit, oh, I thank You. A revival fire is raging. Raging, Lord. Not recklessly, but in the manner in which glory and honor, power and majesty will meet up with everything that You are. We love You, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to rule and reign with Him. So, eternity is going to be quite interesting, isn't it? We will have a governorship. I'm not thinking that's just over angels. We will rule over angels. But based on what you're determined on doing here, we'll have everything to do with what you are over there. And it's easy for people when they read the gates of pearl, streets of gold, and to imagine. It'll throw you off a little bit if you don't know Him. His eyes not seen, ear heard, entered into the heart of man, the things that He's prepared, but God has revealed them unto us. That's our inheritance that He's talking about, not necessarily a mansion. I really wouldn't care for one if they did exist under what I know right now. He said, I go away to prepare you a dwelling place. In My Father's house there are many, the best that King James people could say was a mansion. It's a dwelling place, as He's talking about us as humanity. He said, there's many dwelling places inside of God. But I go to prepare you one. The work that I've done in buying you back as a race. We only know two things that were created to us and the angels that service us. Outside of that, we don't know because there's not anything in the Bible to tell us. But we do know this. He prepared a place for our creation. And that's coming down here. It's where we'll always be, right here. Right here. Well, there'll be a Rubik's Cube type city. It'll be 1,200 miles high, wide, deep. Look almost like a big, huge Rubik's Cube. Not sure how it's going to fit. Well, this whole world will be recreated. He's either going to have to put a flat spot in it, or it wouldn't hang on a sphere, or it'll orbit the earth. Of course, it doesn't matter if you can walk through walls. I'm sure you can, by thought, be in the city and then be on the earth. Doesn't really matter. Hallelujah. He'll be in the city, but I'm sure he'll be walking among us on planet earth. No more seas. No more seas. Just an inhabitable place for all of us to live for eternities and eternities and eternities. No more evil. Hallelujah. No more tempter. Hallelujah. No more talk of revival. You won't need one. Hallelujah. No more discouraged parishioners or pastors that don't exist. I'm happy we're going there, aren't you? in this life, I'm glad I knew you. You'll be my best friend in heaven, and I'll be your best friend, because we found a little niche on planet Earth and said, okay, I belong to governments. No, I think my part is intercessory. Somebody said, no, I think I'm supposed to be in helps. And everything while you're going at it. You got the defying of the flesh and hell and all the report of the world saying, hey, you're just not going to be able to do this. It's just not going to make sense. And you choose by an act of your will. And that's called faith. Hallelujah. And that's where you get your reward from. Glory be to God. It's not inspiration. It's not the anointing. That's all an act of your will. That brings the anointing. The reward comes by an act of your will. Especially when you don't feel like coming to church and you don't feel like fulfilling your call. When most people feel like they're worthy is when they feel real good between them and God. And that's when they think they're really pleasing Him. And He takes great pleasure in making you feel good and feel high and feel loved. But that's really not the way to the reward. The way to the reward comes right about at the pivotal point of you deciding whether or not you'll slack off or go forward. And that's when you get a huge deposit of that wealth laid to your account. And obviously, you know it has nothing to do with gold, diamonds, or silver. I mean, who's going to care about that stuff there? Who would care about any of that? But you would care about looking over and seeing a big, huge, massive crowd and say, God says, that all belongs to you. That's your inheritance. You'll rule and reign. And that glory will come on you. And it's going to be good, isn't it? Hallelujah. We had a good day Sunday, didn't we? Man, oh man. We come up higher. Not just because of the prophecy, but we just said in the glory of God. Sometimes it's real neat. Matt don't put on anything. He just follows the Spirit. Candy doesn't ask anything. The ladies or, you know, whoever's doing whatever. We just worship God. Hallelujah. That went on for, I don't know how long, 30, 45 minutes. And prophecy started taking place. Hallelujah. Somebody got healed of an infirmity that they'd had 6 months. I'll let them tell you that Sunday. Just right in the middle of the worship. Some of you heard it last night. It's good. Hallelujah. I'm glad for where He's taking us, aren't you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? I press myself for this order. Is that I just don't want to take it for granted what He's brought to us by His grace. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands and just praise Him for a moment? I love you, Jesus. I praise and magnify you. I glorify you. You're so worthy, Jesus. So incredibly worthy. We love you, Jesus. I love you and praise you. Thank you, Father, for all of everything that you are and your visitation Sunday, your prophecies, the things that you said to us personally that none of us heard about, that you spoke to every individual that was listening, and you promised them strength in their life, encouraged their strength and hope in their bodies and in their marriages and in peace, Lord, we go forward. Oh, Father, I thank you for strength in this life and helps and governments enlisted in this place and the power of the intercessor, Lord, and everyone that has joined themselves to a common cause, which is to receive
this outpouring and to bring you back to a planet and say, okay, God, this is what your inheritance is. This is what we've done while you've been and gone away. Lord, we love you. Hallelujah. We praise you. Receive your inheritance. Receive your inheritance, Father. You're the good man that's gone away. Lord, you've lent this vineyard out to us, and we bring forth the fruit unto righteousness and say, okay, God, give us the strength for this great last outpouring. It does not matter what evil abounds, grace does much more abound for us. And we love you and we worship you. Hallelujah. And I receive grace just for these few moments in your word, and we love you and praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I've been feeling real encouraged lately. Hallelujah. And real peaceful. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And you know what I like? I like when you know it's coming from the Lord. Because a lot of times you have to rack your peace up. Like, okay, think about that. That I see where that works out. This works out. That works out. Okay, I hope and faith in that. Hoping this is so quiet, it doesn't even have to, doesn't even feel the necessity to go through a Rolodex in the mind. It's just quietness. Hallelujah. And that's his greatest state. He said in his word. He said in quietness shall be your confidence. So there's a state where you can go through things with your mind, but there's a greater state where his peace just quietens you down and you forget about things. Hallelujah. I like that. Praise be to God. Well, let's turn to Ephesians for just a few moments. And it will be there, and then we'll be over in Romans for a few moments. And I don't think I'm going to keep you long, or I don't know what I should say about that or why I should say that, because I'm not in control anyway. The worst possible thing is that I could be in control. Hallelujah. I've already given thanks, but why don't you stretch your faith this way? Help me just a little bit. Father, I love you. Thank you for everyone that's here and are growing, going forward more and more of who you are in us. And we thank you for it. I receive their prayers for me and thank you for it, Father. I call myself a teacher likened to Christ and to his image, his wisdom, his glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was talking to Pastor Dave today. He just got back from Brazil a couple weeks ago. Multiple miracles as always. People being saved. 200 people got healed in their eyes in one service. It's really great. Good thing is, in about the end of this month, he said the book in Spanish and in German will be complete. And it'll be going to the printers. And man, we have needed one in Spanish for a long, long time. Hallelujah. I bet Pastor Joel is going to be really a happy camper. Hallelujah. So pray. And somebody's got the first printing on at least one of those. So that's good. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians 5:14. I was just meditating this afternoon, and the Lord was showing me just a few things that we'll go over in just some of these particular scriptures. It says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, we read that scripture several weeks, or not months ago, and commented on it. And at times we've really stayed in Ephesians on Wednesday nights and then just heard from the Lord and taught on the things that he'd have us to from time to time. This particular scripture was one that Gary said that the Lord just highlighted in him last year.
And after a bereavement of going through tragedy, death in the church of somebody that many of us knew, he was asking God some candid questions. And he woke up from a dream one night with this scripture highlighted. And that was the scripture, Ephesians 5:14. The Lord said, if you can find the wisdom of that scripture, the wisdom of what you're looking for concerning these untimely deaths and these places that even though you're making confession and even though we believe revival is coming our way, except the line between what we're believing for and the line of what is called done has not merged to full capacity yet. But the Lord said, in there, if you can find everything that circumvents itself around that scripture, you can begin to walk a lot closer to that. He said, wherefore saith he, and this is Paul again, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that thou walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the times, because the days are evil. When he said, awake thou that sleepest, of course he's speaking to the church at Ephesus. He's speaking to New Testament Christians. He's not speaking to someone in darkness that has not yet been born again. And he is again saying to born again, spirit-filled believers, wake up. Wake up. Now, this message is not intended to be a lashing. It's not intended to be anything other than the fact that the Holy Spirit is saying this for us to go where we commonly or affectionately call a place called done, so that where when we pray, Jesus comes. When we speak His name, Jesus comes. See, there's got to be a place where that when He's talking about wake up, He's not talking about coming out of a physical sleep, but He's talking about a place that having heard the Word, having appreciated the Word, having heard all great exhortation, having had an affinity towards the best that God has to offer, which is miracles, beginning first with the intimacy of Christ and then passing itself down through miracles, still there's something lacking much of the time between the prayer of faith and between the actual physical miracle taking place. And Paul was saying there's a necessity for the church to wake up. See, when our senses in the spirit realm come to a place of where that we come to full awareness of who He is, I'm totally convinced that none of us yet see Him in the light in which He really exists. We still don't appreciate. It's not because we don't want to, but it's like there are blinders. That's partly, in fact, by the fact that we have been raised in this life. We were once in darkness. We have come into light. And everything that darkness programmed us is still part of the renewing of the mind that needs to take place. But have you ever tried to express something to someone and it was something of simplicity, and yet because the Holy Spirit came and invaded your space and you had some glorious experience, you were baptized in His love, you were baptized in His presence, and the simplest of issues, like His love, like His presence, like His provision to you, like it's going to be all right. What you wanted to convey and what you tried to convey to the person or to the people closest to you or to any point in testimony, words were not enough. They weren't enough. And you knew on the inside of you, not to the detriment of the other person you were trying to talk to, whether it was a husband or wife, you knew that what you were trying to get across to them, they were getting on the level that they could get it, but they had not had the experience that you had. So you were saying, this is it. And it was like, okay, I get it. There's no other way to say it. But yet, I still can't get it over to you because something inside of me has awakened. Something inside of me has come to a place and seen this. And when you're trying to tell that person,
they may be, to the best of their ability, saying, I got you, okay, wonderful, and yet their reaction is not like yours, and you can't blame them because they didn't have the experience, but something on the inside of you woke up. The convenience or the simplicity of His coming to you on the inside. See, in the days ahead, the name of Jesus, Jesus is Lord. He is Lord, and He means so much to me. He obviously means so much to you. You love Him. You appreciate Him. He's God in the flesh. He's everything to us. But His name, as we go into Him and the Holy Spirit reveals who He is, will wake up something inside of us so that the name of Jesus means far more to us as we go forward and in the days ahead than it means to us right now. We'll still say it with the same, it'll still seem like the same Jesus coming out of our mouth, and yet all of heaven will come to attention. All of glory will circumvent itself through us because something has woke up on the inside of us so that now the name of Jesus doesn't mean what it used to mean. It comes forth with an awareness. It comes forth with an awareness of who He is in us, and it flows out from us. Hallelujah. And this is what Paul was trying to say. Look, I know you get it, but you don't get it. I know you get it, but really, there is an awakening that must take place inside of each one of us, even as born-again believers, to the extent that God wants to get a hold of our life and absolutely send us into a place where that when we speak, it's Jesus speaking through us. And the interesting thing here is he said, redeeming the times because the days are evil. This is really part and partisan to everything that we're fighting. We don't even realize that even as Christ is bringing us forward, that there's also a cloud of darkness that's trying. It doesn't win, but it's trying to invade our space. It's trying to delude with a mixture all the truth that wants to keep us from coming to a place where our spirits are really awake. And as long as our spirits are in any state of slumber, half awake, half sleep, then Christ in us, the hope of glory, is not really going to be able to come forth and shine. But here's where the Holy Spirit began to speak to me this afternoon, and we'll look at it in another place, and I think it'll prove to you part of what I'm seeing tonight, because I'm seeing this only partially. What is it? I mean, what I'm going to say is something that we'd all, I know with due respect, you'd say, yes, I think I understand that. But when we see it in the essence of what Paul leads up into this chapter and then see it in another place in Romans, what is it that we have to digest and lean? None of us can do it on our own. But when the Holy Spirit starts working in us, that we come to an awareness of saying, okay, He may be trying to wake me up. I mean, I'm not asleep. I know what's going on. I know the vision of the house. I know I've got to get mortified. I know praying in tongues does that. I know fasting does that. I know private worship elevates me. We're doing it. But Holy Spirit, You really, really want to take us to a place where lights are on and everybody's home and there's a brightness so that when He's speaking, it's not being cluttered by what I'm going through. See, most of everything that people hear, it's filtered through what they're going through. And they're not really hearing it in the big picture of how that it will change their life in order to affect a nation, because they're just trying to survive the hours to try to get relief for mind or soul or provisions for body or the trial they're going through. When in reality, He cares about all that. But the bigger picture is this. Those things cannot be filtered. They cannot be taught by the human aspect, by us receiving this truth and saying, okay, God, you know, I'm gonna work this out. I'm gonna receive what I'm hearing and say, how does that apply to my life? Listen, the Holy Spirit wants to wake us up. And I just know here that one of the ways that He does that the most, one of the greatest alarm clocks, one of the greatest, you know, things that the Holy Spirit will come and begin to alert, bring our spirit from a lethargy, from a place where it's sleeping, to a place where it is on a fire. I mean, there's something that'll put it to sleep, and there's something that'll wake it up. And I think we can see both of this in what He's saying here. Let's look at Ephesians 4. He says in verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Well, he's going to identify what kind of corrupt communication that is. "But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." My God, if there's anything I don't want to do, is to grieve the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean that He leaves us. Doesn't mean we're not His. It just means that something's quenched inside of His heart as a result of something that He's about to say here. I believe this is what I'm saying tonight. I believe this is, if you digest this, you'll understand this is either what wakes you up or puts you to sleep. It's either a sleeping pill or it's a hot cup of caffeine. It's something that really wakes you up. And this is what Paul is saying. And when he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, by what? Telling dirty jokes? Well, I mean, there's a part in that. He does list something later about that. Doing this, doing that. No. Here's how he talks about grieving. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." So I just, that whole thing is capsulized by love. The whole thing. "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Okay, you can hold your place there and see if this place in Romans doesn't sound almost like what he was speaking or writing in Ephesians. And turn with me to Romans, the 13th chapter. See, when he's writing in Ephesians 4, he's leading up to 5, and he's talking about, "Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead." And he's telling you there what can put the spirit of man in the church to sleep or what can wake him up. Now, the first part of Romans 13, he's talking about being subject to higher power and how this is a minister of God for good. But he says in verse 8, he says this, Owe no man anything but what? But to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law for this. And he just goes through the law. And we don't live by the law now, but he's going to tell you how the law is capsulized in just loving one another. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, kill, steal, lie against one another, not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing that the time, that now it's high time to awake out of sleep. Isn't that amazing? Same thing. He's saying, awake thou that sleepest. But notice that he's prefacing it by the command to walk in the fullness of love. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly
as in the day, not rioting and drunkenness or chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this is the thing that he's saying. Well, there's a lot of different things that we can do to wake up ourselves and to go further in Him. But in those journeys on that path, while you're in prayer, while you're fasting, while you're worshiping, know this, that the greatest catalyst, the greatest thing that He's going to do is to wake you up. See, here's where the big picture is. Waking you up for the body puts you in line for you receiving everything you need personally. It does. And when your spirit is, when He begins to work on you in how much you love one another and how much we love the unlovely, and not just the people in the church, but that family out there that's not yet part of the family. See, there's a family out there that's not yet part of this family, and it's His lost sons and daughters. And those are the ones that may be more apt at times to really treat you. You know, we just expect that. But here's the thing. Wake up. Here's the wake up. Everything that I do and allow Him to work in my spirit towards love. It is it's the ammonia. It's the wake up. It's the thing that says, oh, wait a minute. I'm seeing things different. And even when you try to explain it to somebody that's buried themselves, they get real, oh, they're physically awake, but their senses are not spiritually awake, because when there is clamor in their mouth and there's evil words being spoken, and this is not a prophetic word of the Lord to you per se. I'm telling you that the wake up, the greatest wake up part of the Holy Spirit's ministry to you is everything that He'll perform in the love walk. That's the wake up. And so when He's dealing with that, lean into it. Don't go on witch hunts, but lean into the purging, lean into the love, lean into everything that He's saying about us loving one another, because when He does that, He's waking us up for the final call. Hallelujah. And it's proven again in 1 Corinthians 13, of course, you know that's the love chapter, but we'll just read through that, enjoy it, and go home. Look at verse 1. I like the way that Dave talks about this. Chapter 12 ends up with listing all of our calls, and it ends up with the diversity of tongues in 28. That's the end rung of the ladder. That's the bottom rung, but it's the one that's kind of the fire starter for everything else. We've taught on that in the past. But it's amazing how 13 kind of reverses the order. 12 ends with tongues being the foundation or the fire starter for all these other ministries to really get their edification. 13 goes and starts there and kind of goes in a descending order, mentioning many of the other calls. But as Dave has talked about before, and as a lot of times you'll run into your good fundamentalist friends, and they'll want to use 13 against speaking in tongues and say, well, you know, you can speak in tongues all you want, but if you don't have love, blah, 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 blah. It's not saying that. It is saying that you can have a baptism. You can stand on a green line or a front row seat, or have a front row seat and get filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you don't exercise it, you can be mean all the rest of your life. You have the Holy Spirit and be mean. But you cannot have the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit pray through you on a daily basis that He doesn't start saying, wake up, wake up. Oh, I'm not asleep. Oh yeah, you are. Wake up. Now let me give you a wake up here. Forgive. And when you do, you're going to get real bright. See, because what's dimming you over there, why isn't that working? I don't understand why that's not working. It's because you're asleep
And he can't tell you about that because he doesn't have you woke up here. And when he can give you that shot of adrenaline, when he can wake you up there, and you get real bright and you wake up and you say, wait a minute, okay, I receive this purging. I forgive. I'll do whatever he says concerning that. Whatever he says concerning that, I'll do it. All of a sudden, light comes on over here with what we thought was really controlling our life. And it never was the thing that was controlling our life. But we were so asleep that we thought, I got to get this fixed. And it never gets fixed. I just can't figure out why it never gets fixed. Never gets fixed. When it all together, it's an issue over here. Hallelujah. See, I want to wake up. I don't know how many parts of my being are still asleep, but oh God, I want to wake up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, 13 says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, agape, King James says charity. Seems like it kind of diminishes the meaning thereof. It says, have not love, I'm become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Meaning, it just aggravates me. Or it's an aggravation, it's a confusing sound. It's something that has no distinction to it. It's not a wake up. It's not a trumpet of war. It's not a going forth. It's just a confusion if I'm doing these things without walking in love. And though I have the gift of prophecy, so he starts right there with diversity of tongues, and now he goes to the prophet or prophecy, and he says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, here you tend to think that he's talking about the mountain-moving faith of the apostle, so that I could remove mountains, and if I don't have this charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, I mean, now he takes in the ministry of helps. I mean, they have all these goods to feed the poor and give their body to be burned and have not charity. It profiteth me nothing. And see, here's just there's a little side note here, but it's worth mentioning. You can look at ministries for hundreds of years who burned with power and yet diminished in faults. They fell away for one reason or the other. It's a travesty, it's a shame, it's pitiful. And we're not here to condemn anybody. But when Paul's speaking here, he says, I could have all this power, I could have all this knowledge, I could prophesy, move mountains, but if I don't have this love working in me, he says it profits me. Now you can take that to the whole body of Christ, and obviously it'll go there. But he says it profits me nothing. In other words, you can reach into faith and you can get miracles done and still run the risk of having problems, of failure. But here's what you can't do. You may not have the profit, the provision of protection around you in the manifestation of power, but if you step into agape, that will profit you personally, so that whatever character flaws could sabotage a great ministry down the road can be relinquished, vanished, purged. Hallelujah. Then it profits. It profits. And this is why he, at the end of this thing, says, get love. Because if you do all these other things and you get burnt out, messed up, cast aside, then you're messed up. But look, what you got to know is there's a profit of protection and hedge in the agape of God. And that's why we continue to say we are infatuated with the prospects of receiving an outpouring, but we continue to reiterate what's in front of that is we want to know Him. We want to know Him with everything inside of us. Now let me finish up reading this. He says this, charity suffers long. Love suffers long. But what does that mean? It means it suffers long. It means it puts up with it for a long time until God can get in there and do what He needs to. Hallelujah. It's kind. Love envies not. Love does not vaunt itself. Vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. So you get some knowledge. Sometimes knowledge will puff you up. I know a little bit more than you know. It does not behave itself unseemingly. It seeks not her own. Seeketh not her own. It's not easily provoked. See, this 13 is the biggest, I don't know how to coin it. It's probably the biggest wake up, the biggest part of the wake up process that the Holy Spirit has. Now, we got to do all these other things because you can't sit and say, okay, I want love. But the things that we know, time of intimacy and fellowship and praying in tongues and all those other things, you'll find Him start doing works. And it may not always be in hardcore conviction. It may be that He begins to reroute your mind, that you see people in a different light than you've ever seen them before. And you begin to appreciate them even in their weaknesses like you've never seen them before. And so He says this, it doesn't behave itself unseemingly. It seeks not her own. It's not easily provoked. Hallelujah. It thinketh no evil. Now, this is this is the dichotomy of Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is where one thing pertains in truth and another thing pertains in the absolute truth. I've been down the road a little bit, maybe not nearly as far as some. And you always think when something else comes up, you've seen it all. But that's not necessarily true. I know that. I've seen a lot of different things. I've been my heart has hurt, like all of you, at different times when people did not realize their inheritance and fell. And then a thorn seed that was not dealt with became a master to their life and then eventually began to destroy their lives and other people's lives. Wake up. When you're truly awakened by love, then you walk more like Jesus. And Jesus said, be harmless, wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Means the more you walk in Him, the more you'll be able to see the works of the enemy. Whether that comes directly at you or whether it comes direct or indirectly at you in the process of people. But here's what you can't afford to do. Now here's your guarantee. Here's your provision in love. The more you walk in love, the more awake you are. The more you can smell, and I'm not saying this about people, but you can smell that rat, the enemy, who only can use people at times to try to get you. You'll smell him or see him from miles away the more you wake up. But at the same time, Paul is saying the more you walk in Him, you're not thinking evil. What does that mean? No matter what you see in this life, or no matter what has come at you, you can never, ever, 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 ever afford to become cynical and become critical and begin to judge things out of the protection that people put up that only puts them to sleep the protection that people put up to guard themselves against invasions of destruction and hurt. When they do that, they begin to pronounce that person's up to no good. That person has... When in all reality, they may see a fault, but they cannot see the purity of the heart inside of that person in a cynical state. And this is Paul says, look, this is what love does. It doesn't cheapen the fact that you're able to see, but it thinks no evil. In other words, it does not set itself in a disposition, no matter how many times it's been attacked, it does not set itself in a disposition of, oh, they're messed up. They're coming after me. I know who they are. I've seen them. They've been done that. Bought the T-shirt. Write them off. Love. That's the way to go to sleep. I want to stay awake. Hallelujah. You getting something out of this? Hallelujah. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. Glory be to God. As where there's prophecies, they'll fail. Where there's tongues, they shall cease. And where there's knowledge, it'll vanish away. We know in part, prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. We're just not going to exhort on all this, but I'll finish reading it. But when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. See, that's why no matter how much you think you know about what you're looking at, you're still seeing through a glass darkly. So you better let Him be the final say-so. Well, I don't like that ministry. And I think, well, you better wait. You better wait and let Him be the one. We see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I'm known. Now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. The greatest of these is the one that wakes us up all the time, every day. Charity, love. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Receive His grace. It's that word of exhortation. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, we spoke Sunday on the Lord on whom the king leaned. And he gave a false report, didn't he? I don't know. Even if God opens up the heavens, there's no way for this to happen. Well, He did, and it did, and it took place. Hallelujah. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to offer up thanks for what we received tonight. Immokalee saved, and everything that we need financially to get that done is made manifest. Hallelujah. Through you, yes, through the people in South America, Africa, all of North America, the Arctics, Australia, hallelujah, land down under, doesn't matter, Europe, Asia, Latin America, we call it forth. We've got a mission, and we're waking up, Father. So, Father, now I receive this great grace. Speak to the hearts of your people. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Candy and I love you, and we're just so thankful and proud, and a ripe kind of proud to be serving with you. Glory be to God.